Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace. I'm Pastor Brett Walker. We are deep in the Advent season, just a few days to go until Christmas. As a pastor, this is one of the busiest weeks of the year, the other being Holy Week. But I'm behind on my podcast, and so I'm going to endeavor to get the rest of the Advent season out before Saturday. We'll see. But at any rate, the second sermon in our Advent series focuses on the word turn, and we look at what it means to repent, to turn away from sin and turn back to God. The concept of repentance is what separates Catholicism from Protestantism and is so pivotal that it was the content of the first four of Martin Luther's 95 Theses. What is it about repentance that is so central to the Christian faith? We're about to find out. So grab your Bible, turn it to Matthew chapter 3, and prepare your heart and mind as we consider turning back.
We're continuing our theme of Advent, and just as a way of reminder, Advent is not the secular season of Christmas that we see everywhere around us. Advent is a season of preparation, not just preparation for the Christmas holiday, but preparation for the return of Christ. Christ promised that He would return and would return soon. And so Advent is a time of preparation to prepare for that return. Last week we talked about what it meant to keep watch, to be ever ready, ever vigilant, because Jesus said that He would come like a thief in the night. We're going to see those words again today. But today we're looking at what it means to repent, to turn back, to turn back. And that's really what the message is about today, is turning back. And so let us hear the word of the Lord for us today. Chapter 3 of Matthew, beginning at verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Esaias, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." May God pour out his rich blessing upon this, the reading of his holy word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for your Spirit to be upon us as we take the words of John into our hearts. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive your holy word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you were listening to the words of John there, you may have noticed that there was a certain word, a theme that kept coming up again and again. Three times he mentions repentance. Three times he says to repent. He begins by saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. It's now. It's time for you to turn back to God. So we have to ask ourselves, and we've talked about repentance in the past. I think it's worthy to be revisited and to really discuss what repentance is and what it isn't. The word here that is rendered as repent or repentance is a Greek word, metanoeo. metanoeo, which comes from two words, meta, which means with, and noeo, which means comprehension or understanding. With comprehension, with understanding. It means a change of mind. It's used in the New Testament 34 times, metanoeo, and every single time it's rendered that way, repent. Repent. It means a turning back. It means we're headed in one direction, we're headed towards sin, and we have a change of heart. We have a change of mind. Our mind is changed, and we turn completely around, and we are turned back towards God. That's what repentance is. The Hebrew word in the Old Testament that is used is sub. Sub, which means to turn back or return, as in to turn back or to return to God. It's used in the Old Testament that way 391 times. So it seems like the message of repentance is really a central theme throughout the Bible. 34 times in the New Testament, 391 times in the Old Testament. Why do you think that God kept bringing that repentance theme back up? Probably because the people needed to repent. Probably because the people kept turning away from Him. And in our society today, we see that too. We keep turning away from God. We turn away from God because we say, well, we don't need God anymore. Science has shown that, you know, creation happened when the Big Bang happened and everything came to be and, you know, everything came out of nothing. And now here we are 13 billion years later, and really life doesn't mean anything, so we might as well just enjoy the time that we have. Our life is very short, we say. Life is short, so just enjoy the time that we have. We don't want to have to answer to a holy God. We don't want to have to face God. So we turn away from Him. We turn away from Him. A loving God who offers us so much, who offers us life, who gave us life, who created us in His image. A loving God who sent His Son to die for sinful people. He didn't send Jesus to die for good people. He sent Jesus to die for the ones He wanted to save. That's how much He loves us. But we turn away from Him. We need to repent. That's the message of the Bible. It's the message of John. Now, it's very important that we look at what repentance is, turning back, a changing of the mind, as opposed to what it isn't. And unfortunately, in the early centuries of the church, in the 4th century, St. Jerome translated the Greek into Latin, and he used a different word. He used the word penitentium agite. Penitentium agite, which means do penance. And there's a huge difference between doing penance and repenting. You see, repenting is a changing of the mind. It means I'm not thinking those things anymore. I'm not doing those things anymore. I've changed who I am. I've been transformed. But penance is something I have to do. Some act that I have to perform in order to be forgiven. Not that I have already been forgiven, and because of that forgiveness, I change. I am transformed by what Jesus has already done for me. But something now I have to do to add to what Jesus already did on the cross. That's the idea of doing penance. And that is the central reason, by the way, for the Reformation that happened nearly 500 years ago. John's message. Three times in this passage, in these 12 verses, he uses the word repent. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He says in verse 8, he says, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. May your lives bear fruit that are worthy of repentance, he says. And then in verse 11, he says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. He was baptizing people for the symbolic washing of their sins, that they would repent, that they would confess their sins, that they would repent of their sin and turn away from that life and be transformed. But the message is echoed by other prophets as well. I said in the Old Testament it's used 391 times. In the book of Ezekiel, God speaking through the prophet Ezekiel says, "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God. So turn and live." You can almost hear God pleading with Israel. Time and time again, they turn their back on him. The one who delivered them from slavery in Egypt. The one who gave them the promised land. The one who protected them. The one who provided for them. They turned their backs on him and they worshiped other gods. And he would plead with them. And Hosea, the prophet Hosea said, "Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live before him." Prophetic words speaking not only of their revival, of their repentance, but also of the healing that would come in the resurrection of Christ. And Isaiah in chapter 30 said, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and in trust shall be your strength." He said, repent, repent. Now that message wasn't just preached by Old Testament prophets, but also by the disciples after the resurrection of Christ. Peter in Acts chapter 2 said to the people, that they came to him and they were cut to the heart by his preaching. They said, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Repent, he said. Repent. And Peter, again, in Acts chapter 5, said, "The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Repent. The theme keeps coming up again and again. Now we say, but Jesus wasn't that in your face about that, was he? He couldn't have possibly, Jesus was all about love. Love your neighbor, love your, blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor in spirit, right? He never said anything about repentance. Yeah, he did, actually. In fact, in Matthew chapter 4, just a few verses after where we stopped reading, he says in chapter 4, verse 17, the very first thing that Jesus preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The exact same message that John was preaching. And in the book of Revelation, Christ says to his church in chapter 3, "Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you." So the question is then, the message of repentance is so central to Christian teaching, then why do we hear it so infrequently? Martin Luther began his protest against the Catholic Church. Now remember that Martin Luther was not out to create a new church. He wasn't out to bring down the Catholic Church, but he saw some things going on in the Catholic Church that he disagreed with, and when he read things in the Bible, they just didn't jive. And it was when he read these passages, Matthew chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 4, in the Greek and not in the Latin, and he realized that the word metanoeo, it meant repent. It didn't mean do penance. And so it changed everything for Martin Luther, and the light bulb went on, and he went and he wrote down 95 things that he thought were wrong with the Catholic Church. We call them the 95 Theses. And he went and he nailed them onto the door at the church in Wittenberg. Now, we always romanticize it and we think that he stormed down the street and he took the bang, 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 right? No, it wasn't anything like that. See, the door of the church was kind of like a community bulletin board. And so he posted this message for all to see. He wanted everybody to see these 95 things. And you know, the first four things that he wrote, the first four of his 95 theses, every one of them dealt with repentance. He said, when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, Matthew 4, 17, he willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. This word cannot be understood as referring to the sacrament of penance, that is, confession and satisfaction, as administered by the clergy. Yet it does not mean solely inner repentance. Such inner repentance is worthless unless it produces various outward mortification of the flesh. You see, Luther understood that repentance had to be the life of the Christian. We're sinners. And we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. And so our life is going to be turning away from God at various times in our lives. We need to repent. We need to turn back to God. Especially when times are hard. Especially when things go wrong. But also, especially when things are going well. Because a lot of times when things are going well, we forget who it is who bestows all the blessings upon us. Who, from whom all good gifts arrive in our lives. And so, in the good times and in the bad, and in the in-between times, we need to turn to God. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist tradition, in his sermon called The Repentance of Believers, said, and this is undoubtedly true, that there is a repentance and a faith which are, more especially, necessary at the beginning, a repentance which is a conviction of our utter sinfulness and guiltiness and helplessness, and which precedes our receiving that kingdom of God which our Lord observes is within us, and a faith whereby we receive that kingdom, even righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Wesley got it. He understood that the life of the believer was to be one of repentance. And Luther got it. So we hear it from the Reformation fathers, and we hear it from the disciples. We hear it from the Old Testament prophets and from John the Baptist. And we hear it from Jesus even. Repent, 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 repent. And how many of us really do it? You see, repentance is transformation. Repentance takes where we were going and changes it to where we're headed. Let me put it to you this way. One time I was going up to Montclair, and I didn't understand, this is in the days before GPS, I didn't understand how the roads in New Jersey worked. Okay? So I'm driving up the turnpike was all backed up. So I get off the turnpike and I get on a 295 north. And I think, I'll just take 295 north, as you know, that'll take me up there, right? Eventually. So I'm just driving 295 north, 295 north, 295 north, and I cross a bridge and I'm on 95 south. I'm like, what the heck happened? Wait, hold on. I'm going the wrong way. So I turned around. Okay, I'll just stay on 95 north. So I'm 95 north, 95 north, go across the bridge, and I'm on 295 south. I'm like, what is going on in this place? But, I was going in the wrong direction, and I had to turn around. And that's what our lives are like without God. But repentance is transformation. Romans chapter 12, Paul says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice is our spiritual worship. It's the way that we worship God. We worship God by living lives that are worthy of the repentance that we have. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, in our unregenerate state, we are completely incapable of understanding that what we are doing is so wrong. We are completely incapable of discerning, as Paul says, the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. It is only when we repent, when we change our mind, when we turn and face God, when we are reborn, as it were, in the Spirit, that we are able to understand the right and the wrong. In John chapter 3, Jesus, talking to Nicodemus, said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Therefore, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. We have to be reborn. We're born into the wrong family when we're born on earth. We're born into the family of sinners. We need to be reborn into the kingdom of heaven. And when we are reborn, we are brand new. We are babies. We are infants. We are completely new. And then there's growth. We start to grow. We start to learn. And we start to grow into our new roles as believers. And as with any kind of growth, there's progress, there's regress. Sometimes we're going forward, sometimes we're falling back. And when we fall back, those are the times, you know, when we need to repent. Repent. And turn back to God. How do we know that we are repentant? How do we know that we are reborn? 2 Corinthians, Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Look back at your life. And maybe you can look at a time. This was the time when I decided I was going to be a believer. This is the time when I was going to be a Christian. When I finally said, okay, Christ, you have all of me. And there was a time like that in my life. And when I look at that particular part of my life, and everything that was before was so completely different than everything that came after. And people who knew me before I was a Christian think I'm a completely different person. I am. I am. I was transformed. I was reborn. I'm a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. And in Matthew, Jesus says, you will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. We get into this idea of bearing fruit. And John said to the Pharisees, bring forth fruits, therefore, meet for repentance. Bear fruit that is worthy of repentance, he said. When we repent, when we turn away from God, or when we turn back to God, and we are transformed, our lives bear fruit, and the fruit that we bear is a witness to our repentance. It's not that the good acts that we do, or the good works that we do, are the works that save us. But when we are saved, we do good works. And that is the evidence of Christ acting in our lives. So when we come to communion, we must examine our lives and see, what is the fruit that we are bearing? Are we, as Luther said, living entire lives of repentance? Are we transformed by the renewing of our minds? Or are we conformed to this world? Now, there's no judgment coming from the pulpit here. Each of us need to examine our own lives and answer and face these hard questions. If we're not living lives of repentance, are we truly born again? And if we're not reborn of water and the Spirit, then we need to ask ourselves, why not? What am I waiting for? Am I waiting to see if the world can offer me something better than what God offers to me? God offers to me His forgiveness, His unconditional love, and the righteousness of His Son so that I may have eternal life. Paul said, for our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. If our sin is imparted to Christ upon the cross, then His righteousness is imparted to us upon His resurrection. That's what God offers to us. What does the world offer that compares to that? My grandfather had this old song he used to sing, shovel 16 tons and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. I see a lot of mouths going with that, right? That's what the world has to offer. The world offers nothing but misery and labor, but Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So let us hear the words of John today. Let us repent of our sin, turn away, and turn back toward God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we seek your forgiveness for our transgressions. Give to us truly repentant hearts. May our entire Christian lives be lives of repentance, of turning away from sin and turning back toward you. We know we're not perfect. We know we will stumble and fall. We know also that you will always be there when we turn back to you. But we are seeking a rebirth. We are seeking to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Let these words given by your Holy Spirit fall afresh upon our hearts. May we give our lives to you completely, holding back nothing, removing the lures and snares of the world and filling our hearts with love for you and you alone. We adore you, Lord. We come to this holy place to adore you. Fill our hearts with joy in this season of anticipation. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come. We ask in your mighty and holy name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you live in the Salem County area, you can join us on Sunday morning for worship. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service at 9 a.m., and Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown meets for worship at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week, and right now we're studying the Holy Land of the Bible. This weekend is Christmas, and we have several opportunities for worship. Saturday night, we have Candlelight Christmas Eve service at Ebenezer at 7 p.m. and Hudson at 8:30 p.m. Then Sunday morning, we have Christmas services at our regular time, Ebenezer at 9 a.m. and Hudson at 10:30 a.m. Hope to see you there. Now, if our message today has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? And consider sharing it on the social media platform of your choice. You can also access this podcast through the Podbean app on Android or on iTunes. Just search for Guerrilla Christianity. Keep listening, keep growing, and I pray that God will continue to bless you in your journey of faith. Amen.